When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Connection is a healthy and essential aspect of our daily lives. From a warm hug after a hard day to kind words just when we need them, these gentle moments give us an understanding of life's true meaning. But when the ability to connect is interrupted by the hustle of daily life and to-do lists pile up next to the worry of who needs school supplies, sometimes making decisions about our health and the well-being of our loved ones can take a back seat. When it comes to those we care for, vaccines are one of the greatest public health success stories, and along with other measures, are one way to help prevent certain diseases. At Merck, we envision communities where families, healthcare providers, local organizations, and advocates work together. Health equity happens when every person, regardless of age and ethnicity, in every community, has fair access to healthcare, including the vaccines they need. For more information, please visit whyvaccines.com.
Welcome to the Marigold Standard, aka the Marigold Standard Experience. I'm your host, Rob Goodwin, and I am joined on this podcast adventure by my good friend, Matt Turner. Matt Turner, after podcasting for near 4 hours yesterday, we are back once again. How are you feeling after that absolute mammoth episode we recorded yesterday?
I actually feel great. Obviously, it was the longest episode we ever did, and I didn't realize until it got published that it was episode 199. Now, obviously, we've done way more than 199 episodes with Patreon and all the other bonus things that we've done, but tomorrow, next week, when we review the first few shows of the Five-Star Grand Prix, episode 200, brothers. So, early congratulations to you. Obviously, you started this bad boy about 4 years ago. So, 200 episodes on deck of the Stardom Cast. What an accomplishment, my friend. But no, I felt great. It was 4 hours long. I wind up eating lunch about 3 hours later than normal, but that was A-OK because I thought the material was absolutely fantastic. But I know after we got done recording, I mean, you talked for a little bit and then you said you were going to go lay down in a dark room. I just want to know if you did that, and I don't think you did because I saw you posting a whole bunch of stuff. So you think that I work hard, my man. Don't sell yourself short. You're just as hardworking, if not harder working than me. But did you go lie down for a dark room after 4 hours of Five-Star Grand Prix podcasting?
I would love to say that I did, but I didn't. All of the stuff that I was doing for the Five-Star Grand Prix Primer, which is now up on Twitter. Obviously, I had to put all that in. I had to write tweets for all of the 28 competitors, as well as, you know, the little stats thing as well. So I think by the time I finished that and set it to post at 5 a.m. my time, I think it was about 1 a.m. by the time I'd finished everything. Obviously, I was doing show reports as well, which, as you're listening to this, it's Friday morning on the free feed. So you will see that the actual written reports from these two shows from the 3rd of August and the 4th of August are up on the site www.thestardomcast.com. Did I do enough W's, Dan? Yeah, I think I did. It's been one of those days. But yeah, they are up on the site. But obviously, they take time to write and stuff like that. So it never stops, my man. It never stops. And with the 835 books that I've got going on and one that I've just sort of very, very loosely bounced off you as well, it's all go, my friend, all go. It's amazing how I get any sleep at all, the little that I do actually get.
Yeah, but it's a pleasure doing it. I mean, it really, really is. I mean, me and you were texting back and forth earlier this morning. It's just amazing. It's just the work ethic from both of us, how we kind of drive each other to constantly do better. And I never look at it as work. You know, I made mention to you, and I put this on social media the other day that sometime probably in the fall, obviously after the 5-star, I'm going to be doing my own separate solo podcast where I'm talking about all Japan in the 80s, 90s, and early pro wrestling Noah. And I remember, obviously, I talked about it with my wife, Amber, for obvious reasons, because, you know, she lives with me and makes sure that everything's A-okay. But she's like, don't you think that's too much work? And I'm like, I don't look at this as work. Like, I don't. I love doing this. It's a labor of love. I make sure that I set time to do it. Like, I absolutely love doing this. And we wouldn't be doing this and putting so much time, energy, and, for lack of a better word, passion into it if we didn't love it, my man. And the fact that that me and you just were always bouncing ideas off each other, we're always like indirectly pushing each other to do better. I think it's one of the reasons why that the Stardom Cast and the Marigold Standard, or the Marigold Standard Experience, does so well, my man. So it's always a pleasure just kicking ass, my man. Just kicking some major ass.
Yeah, absolutely. And today's episode, obviously, is going to be significantly shorter, as you would hope, after 4 hours. But we are going to be looking at the shows from Tokushima on the 3rd of August. I had to try and remember where that one was. And then Hiroshima on the 4th as well, as we continue on the Julia Road towards that final match, which, you know, it's really creeping up on us. It really is, because it's the 8th of August as we record. She leaves Marigold on the 19th with that singles match against Mai Sakurai, who, spoiler, I am going to be full of praise for again on this podcast. It's coming around really quite quickly, and what I'm really happy to see, and we knew it was going to happen, but I'm really happy with, yeah, we knew Julia was going to get the wins in a lot of these matches. For example, that tag match at Corrigan Hall, fantastic tag match, by the way, with Sari against Yuzuki and Tanaka. We all knew they were going to get the win, but she made them look like stars, and that's the exact same here with especially Kogi Amore and Chika Goto, who I thought of everyone on these two shows came out of these two shows as the absolute highlights, apart from one person who we will be talking about later, who is an absolute warrior. We will be talking about that very, very shortly. But again, Julia doing really, really well in making sure that we have got these stars when she does inevitably leave a week on Monday, which is quite terrifying. Now, before we get into the very, very limited news that we're going to talk about today, because as is standard, or as is Marigold standard, look at that. Look at that. I just don't take days off. I'm just, honestly, I crack
myself. On all the time. On all the time, Natsu Poi or SL May. Unbelievable, folks.
Honestly, ladies and gentlemen, I don't think people do honestly appreciate how difficult it is being this funny all the time. It's a burden. It's a curse. But it's one that I wear with pride. And I know that there are going to be some people listening to this in their cars or wherever you listen to it. And they're just going to be with their head in their hands going, he's such an idiot. Why does he keep doing this? But honestly, I entertain myself. But yeah, to the point actually where I've completely forgotten what my point was. What was I talking about?
You were talking about you only had two bits of news.
Yes, so, of course.
Yes, and I actually have a question to ask you, but you go into your news, sir, and then because we didn't talk enough about the 5-star Grand Prix, that I just want to throw some things out at you. But my man, before you forget again, what is the bits of news you would like to discuss?
Well, like I say, as is standard with this podcast, the chances are we will say, oh, there's no news because we covered it all on the Stardom Cast because we recorded that a little bit earlier this week. And there will be a shed load of news tomorrow that needs covering. And I know for a fact that that's going to happen. So anyway, just today, we have got just two little bits. It's not even news. It's just sort of discussion topics that, with me being on holiday, I know we definitely didn't discuss one. And there's just a little bit of an update about the Dreamstar Grand Prix and about the dates, the venues, and of course, the fact that certain ones are going to be streaming live on Wrestle Universe. I want to talk a little bit about that because we are actually getting really quite close to the start of the Dreamstar, which starts on the exact same day as the finals of the five-star Grand Prix, the 31st of August. So that's going to be nice and fun. Obviously, the Dreamstar emanating from the Edion Arena Osaka number 2. Cannot wait for that tournament to start. But before we do, I just want to talk very, very briefly, Matt, because, again, this news sort of broke whilst I was in Wales, so I know we didn't talk about it. But I just wanted to touch on Julia's autobiography, which she'll be releasing on August, I believe, 25th. It's called My Dream. It's going to cover everything from her debut, the passing of Hana Kimura, leaving Stardom, joining Marigold, and then obviously further on her dreams and hopes going to the WWE. But it's one of those books. Obviously, we haven't had an English translation of the Mayu Iwatani book yet. I do live in hope that one day we will get an English translation of that, even if it's just a PDF. But this is another one that I will be really, really intrigued to read, because there's a lot of things from Julia's past, from, you know, from a time in Ice Ribbon, from even the time before that. Obviously, I know she moved a lot when she was a child, or, you know, how that affected her. And then obviously, you know, moving on, what was the straw that broke the camel's back in regard to leaving Stardom and embarking on this journey that is Marigold? I'd love to hear it in Julia's own words. So fingers crossed, Matt, that My Dream, Julia's autobiography, releasing August 25th, does eventually get an English translation. I'm crossing fingers and toes.
You figured it would eventually because of the fact she's coming over to WWE, and maybe like in a second printing or a third printing or like a paperback with added chapters, you kind of figure that they're going to want to take advantage of that. I mean, how many WWE, WWF wrestlers have written autobiographies since really the Mick Foley one hit in the late 90s? So I wouldn't be shocked that eventually if it's something where it's like, okay, we're going to kind of revamp this. We're going to put maybe some chapters of, you know, her time in WWE NXT, maybe by the end of the year. And then we're going to add that to said book. And then we're going to put an English translation in it, because yeah, that would be great. Obviously the Mayu one, we never got an English translation. The Tam one, we never got an English translation. This would be one really, really interesting. And I would not be, I'd be shocked if they did not do an English translation for this, again, considering the fact that she's going to be heading over to the States in about, you know, 2 weeks. So I think it'll be beneficial towards her and the WWE to hire somebody to make that an English translation. But yeah, that's going to be definitely interesting when you're talking about the, you know, everything that happened in Ice Ribbon, especially with Suzu Suzuki, that eventually a couple years, you know, fast forward a couple years later into her Stardom career, that they put that, they made that into an angle, and a great angle, and just an emotional angle with Suzu and Julia. The Hana Kimura stuff is definitely something that I know is going to tug at our heartstrings, because we got nothing but love for one Hana Kimura, and we say it all the time, like Julia, and you were watching Stardom at that point. I obviously wasn't. I didn't start watching Stardom until like the middle of 2021. But Hana, or Julia, is somebody that you always would say on this podcast, and that you always have told me in public and in private, somebody that like you understood the look, but didn't understand the monster push she got right out the gate until the whole Hana Kimura feud, especially with that match at the end of 2019 with the year end climax, which was always kind of their biggest show up until they started, you know, doing these monster pay-per-views and whatnot, especially in Sumo Hall. So that was the match that really, really put Julia on the map. And I know that she pays a lot of tribute to Hana Kimura, you know, between doing the Tiger Lily, the braids that Hana's done, or that Julia would wear, that Hana did, you know, back in 2018 and 2019. 2019. So, yeah, a lot of interesting things would be coming out of that autobiography. And again, yeah, obviously would love to hear about, you know, all the backstage stuff that eventually made her leave Stardom and was ready to leave Stardom, you know, as soon as her contract was up, because there was nobody more vocal in that locker room about how mismanaged that company was than Julia. So yeah, hopefully that does get an English translation, but I would be shocked if it doesn't by the end of the year, my friend.
You do say, obviously, we know that Julie will be going to NXT, will obviously have a wider international audience, but Shinsuke Nakamura's, I don't think, has been translated into English, or at least I think it has, but by people online as opposed to actually being published as a translation. So
it has. I have it.
You have it? Okay, yeah. Then fair enough.
I bought it years ago. I think it. I forget when it came out, but I know that I have it because I remember I bought that one and the Bryan Danielson one that the WWE basically made him write. He didn't want to write it. Like, no, you're going to write it. But no, the Nakamura one is in English. Not unless there was one he did before that I don't know about, but I have the Nakamura one.
There you go. So fingers crossed for this Julia autobiography again, August 25th. That is hitting shelves. Speaking of tournament wrestling, we are fast approaching the Marigold Dream Star tournament. And, you know, we've already gone through all of the competitors. We'll be talking about some qualification matches today, some of them on the 10th of August due to injury having to change the cards and things like that. But the first day of the tournament is the 31st of August. There's two shows, a day and an evening show, on Saturday the 31st at Edion Arena, Osaka, number 2. And that will be streamed live on Wrestle Universe. I know that the general rule of thumb is that if it's in Tokyo, it will stream live. And that is sort of the rule of thumb with this tournament as well. The show from Shinkiba on the 14th of September, that will be streamed live. The show in Korakuen, which is the 16th, which you presume is going to be your big sort of midpoint show, very similar to the Five Star Grand Prix, very similar to the G1 Climax. You will save your big matches, your big block matches for that show, I imagine. Again, none of this is officially confirmed, but I know that the opening nights on Osaka are already queued up to stream on the stream schedule according to Wrestle Universe. So, and then, of course, we have got the second Korakuen Hall date on the 23rd of September as well. So the good chunk of these shows will be live. A lot of these will be video on demand as well, but that's just the way the cookie crumbles. I'm excited for this tournament, though, Matt. There's a lot of unknowns in this tournament. Obviously, we don't quite know yet if it's going to be two blocks. I imagine with 16 competitors, you look at five-star Grand Prix from back in the day, 2018, 2019, they tended to be 2 8-person blocks. So I imagine that's the way we're going. And I imagine come Korakuen Hall on the 19th of August, where we will actually have the full field, I imagine we will get block breakdowns on that Korakuen Hall show, because Korakuen, understandably, seems to be where Marigold dropped their news.
Yeah, and rightfully so. Again, that is pretty much, that was Stardom's unofficial home for quite some time under Rossy Ogawa, you know, for the first 7 or 8 years. And he's basically just, hey, copy an A, get an A. He's been doing all the big stuff in Korakuen Hall show. The Marigold company debuted in Korakuen Hall. We've had the big announcement of Io versus Utami in Korakuen Hall. So yeah, they treat Korakuen Hall really, really special, and rightfully so, because that venue, even though it's not the biggest, it's not the Tokyo Dome, it's not the Budokan Hall, it's not Sumo Hall, there's just something very, very special about that venue. It's just so enriched in deep history with professional wrestling, especially on the Joshi side the last 20 or so years. So yeah, I totally agree with your partner. I think we're going to get some major announcements on the next Korakuen Hall show coming up, between the fact that we have a white belt match, a pure white belt match, and Julia's final match in Marigold for now. And then I think you add on to the fact that we're going to get some breaking news on that tournament. It's going to make this a must-see show. And I'm really glad that Marigold is making this a must-see show, because it's not like we have any wrestling to watch in the month of August, buddy.
No, absolutely not. Thanks a lot, Marigold. Damn you for putting on good wrestling. There is obviously still some dates leading up to that Dream Star Grand Prix opening night. We've still got the shows from this coming weekend, Saturday the 10th, which is Mika Iwata's homecoming show. We'll be going through that card a little bit later on the show, and the 12th of August as well from Yokohama. Again, we'll go through that updated card. And we'll talk about the injuries that have led to those updated cards. And we'll talk about that at the end of the show once we've done our reviews. Marigold returns to Corrigan Hall on the 19th. We've already talked about that. I imagine Marigold will be looking at a big crowd for that show, with it being Julia's final match. And also the first recorded title defense, or the first announced title defense in Marigold history, with Koki Amore asking for a match against Miku Aono, which of course has now been confirmed. And then you have got back-to-back shows at Shinkiba as well on the 24th of August and the 25th of August, both in Tokyo. Both will stream live, you would have thought. So we're going to be busy little boys on that day, Matt, on that weekend, because with that and the five-star Grand Prix to look at, it's going to be very, very, very busy. Before we kick into these reviews then from the midpoint of the Summer Gold Shine Tour, Matt, you said you had a question regarding the five-star Grand Prix. How on earth did we not cover the answer to this question in 4 hours of podcasting?
It's actually pretty amazing, pretty comical. There's actually, it's three quick questions. I'm going to fire all three of them out at you. It's not trivia. It's like, I know star primers, we always give these. And I even said like, oh, at the end, we're going to talk about this, this, and this. And then I went back and listened to the episode. And one, I thought we did great. And two, I was like, man, I never asked those three questions, which is weird considering the fact that we did 4 hours of podcasting. So anywho, the three questions are, one, who do you think is going to come out of the tournament as the tournament MVP? Two, who do you think is going to be the breakout star of the tournament? And three, other than Mayu versus Tomoka Inaba, what is one or two matches that you're really, really looking forward to in the tournament?
Okay, well, let me start with that one. I'll start with that final one. The matches that I'm really, really, really looking forward to. Obviously, Mayu and Tam from that opening night. Hazuki and Natsupoi from the final night. They're both going to be absolutely brilliant. I'm actually really looking forward as well to Izumi versus Meisera. I think that could be really, really tasty. We've seen them do really good stuff before. Mayu versus Momo Watanabe, they've done brilliant things in tournaments past. I can't see why they wouldn't do it again. You've got Shuri and Starlight Kid. I'm really, really looking forward to almost every single Hanan match. I'm looking forward to as well. In terms of breakout star, that's a really interesting one. I'm going to go with Xena, who I'm massive on at the moment, just because she's got that blend of athleticism, power, and just that confidence she seems to be carrying at the moment. She's obviously flying that EXV flag alongside Micah in Mina Shirakawa's absence. I think she's been, whatever she's been given, she's knocked it out of the park. I don't think people expected her match with Micah at the conversion to be as good as it was. Every time she's been given the ball, she's ran with it, and it would not surprise me if she is the breakout star of this tournament. In terms of MVP, I could be really basic and just say Hazuki, because it's your standard answer and it's not wrong. But because I think everyone knows it's going to be Hazuki who is coming up with all the plaudits, and rightly so, I'm actually going to go a bit different, and I'm going to say Sayori Anno. I think she had a really good tournament last year. I think she's been doing some really good work this year, and that white belt picture, you know, the lightning quick title changes, but she had really good matches with Ami Saori when she was at the top of that pay-per-view flashing champion. She had a really good match with Mika Iwata both times, and then that fantastic match against Natsupoi as well. So if you're lucky, she's going to block Starlight Kid, Suri, Xena, and Miyu Amasaki as well, who deserves a mention as the breakout star for this tournament. But yeah, that's those are my picks. I imagine I could probably guess who you think your breakout star is going to be.
Hey, go ahead. My breakout star and my MVP, I told you they weren't hard questions, buddy. My breakout star and my MVP, you may say, Matt, those are lazy answers. But go ahead, my man. Who do you think?
Oh, okay. That's completely changed who I thought you were going to say Yuna Mizumori as your breakout star. But if it's a basic answer, I mean, are we talking Hanan?
No, I mean, it can be, but I'm talking about somebody that very much, again, in 2022, my breakout star was Mina Shirakawa, and we see where Mina is 2 years from now, or, you know, now, because that was 2 years ago. Last year was Ami Sori. Ami Sori's done fantastic work. Obviously, she's injured. We can't wait to see her back. But for me, again, you may say, Matt, that's kind of a lazy answer, because she just had a shot at the World of Stardom Championship. But for me, it's Tomoka Inaba. I really think that Tomoka Inaba is somebody, and again, she's only had a handful of singles matches in Stardom, and considering the fact that there's more eyes on Stardom now than ever, I think she's going to blow people away with her performance, especially in that block. So I know that's, you might think, Matt, that seems like a lazy answer, but that's probably where I'm going with. And as far as MVP, once I say this name, you're like, how did I not think of that? To me, it's going to be Mayu. One, there's nobody, there's not a better wrestler in this company than Mayu. And then it's like, as good as Mayu is, if they put her in a bracket with some slubs, it would kind of pull her stock down. But I don't need to tell you about this bracket. Tomoka Inaba, you know, Momo Watanabe, Tam Nakano. So it's like, yeah, those are kind of going to be, again, obviously when we have our full review at the end of the month, we'll go who our breakout star is and, you know, our top X amount of matches and who our MVP is. But I kind of just wanted to get who you think is going to come out of this tournament as either a breakout star and or as the MVP. So, again, there's no wrong answers, but that's kind of like what I'm just leaning to. And then kind of answer my own question, what matches am I looking forward to the most? I mentioned when we recorded yesterday, the one match I'm looking forward to is Shuri versus Arianu. But that, I believe it's either Sunday or Monday, that Momo Watanabe versus Tomoka Inaba matches. I mean, it's got my name written all over it. That is my style, hard-hitting action. Those are probably the two matches I'm looking forward to the most.
So if we can flip that round then a little bit, I know that obviously we can't necessarily go into as much detail because we don't have as many facts. If we go sort of revert back to Marigold for a second, we've got the Dreamstar Grand Prix coming up, as I'm sure everyone who's listening to this is aware, and I've already mentioned it about 23 times as well on this podcast. The entrance, again, just to remind everyone, Utami Hayashishita, Miko Aono, Mirai Nanae Takahashi, Natsumi Shiozuki, Mai Sakurai, Koki Amore, Misa Matsui, Chiaki Bozilla, Sari Nogisa Nozaki, and then, as we're going to talk about in a moment, Chika Goto has also been added to that as well. Who, in your eyes, you know, and again, this is really early, we'll do a proper preview of it once we've got full blocks, we've got the breakdowns, we know who's going to be facing who and when. But in terms of your really early predictions, who out of that field immediately jumps out at you as A, your MVP, and B, your breakout star? I know who my MVP is, and it's a very obvious one, but I've also got a less obvious one as well.
I think me and you, our MVP is, we're probably on the same page here. Are we going to say Utami?
That was my basic one. Yeah, absolutely. I feel like she is the person, and you know, it's not even like it's a feeling, you know, that this is who this company is based around. And even though I've enjoyed both of these shows, you know, whistle by in under 2 hours, I think they were under an hour and 40, both of them. She was a big miss felt on these shows, Utami. So it'll be good when she's back. She's been announced on the cards coming up. So obviously we wish her nothing but the best. Utami is certainly going to be someone, along with Mirai, Miko Aono, are going to be those people that you are looking for to have those belter matches. If I'm going to be less basic, for lack of a better word, Natsumi Shiozuki.
That's what I had too for my less basic. Yeah. That's exactly
what I had. I can't think of a single person in that field of competitors that I've just said. I can't think of a person that she's going to have a bad match against. Natsumi Shiozuki versus Sari? Yes, please. Natsumi Shiozuki versus Koki Amore, I'm down for. Natsumi Shiozuki versus Mirai in a singles match. Oh, please, take my money. Take my money. I want Natsumi Shiozuki and I want her in a block with only hard-hitting wrestlers. That's literally all I want. But yeah, those are my... In terms of breakout stars, so obviously you're looking at someone who's not quite at the pinnacle of Marigold, and I think Koki Amore is definitely one to keep an eye on. I think Misa Matsui as well. She continuously gets better. She was brilliant in that tag match on the Sunday show. Thought she was great. The height she gets on that knee strike is unbelievable. And then, of course, you've got someone like Achiaki, who every week I seem to be getting more and more invested in. And just when you think she couldn't be more of a badass, she splits her head open and wears a cool bandana. So there you go. What about you in terms of breakout stars?
I don't know if she's officially qualified for the tournament yet, Rob, but for me, especially coming off that tag match at Cork and Hall a couple weeks ago, Kazuna Tanaka. And I know I always talk highly about her because, one, she's a second-generation wrestler. Two, her dad was a very early influence on me as far as the styles and tape and DVD studies for me when I first broke into wrestling over 20 years ago, Minoru Tanaka. And eventually he became a character and became heat, by the way. So, but I'm really impressed with everything that Kazuna Tanaka does. I thought she was such a standout in that great, great Cork and Hall show that I reviewed last week. So she would probably be one. And then as far as somebody that just needs a little bit more of just a push to be a top current main eventer, but to be someone that's going to be in a permanent main eventer, is somebody that we sing her praises all the time when we do this Marigold show, is that's Mai Sakurai. I think she's going to have a phenomenal tournament. She's somebody that we've seen that has been inserted into main events from time to time. She's got a big match coming up, again, Cork and Hall, Julia's final match in Marigold, again, for now. Whether that's the main event or the Pure White Belt Championship is the main event, that we don't know, because we've seen that Rossi will put a championship match on last over somebody leaving, a big star. If you remember when Io left, that was not the main event of Cork and Hall. It was Momo Watanabe defending the Wonder title against Jungle Kiona. So regardless, I think that Kazuna Tanaka is somebody that Vittoria Yuzuki as well. You know, they're going to be neck and neck. But I wouldn't be shocked that after this tournament that Mai Sakurai, we look at her as somebody like, okay, that's somebody that can challenge Sari for the red belt. That's somebody that can challenge Miko Ano for the white belt. And it can go 17, 18, 19 minutes. And she can hold her own in those matches. So those would be my early picks, my friend.
Well, I don't want to tempt fate, Matt. Kazuna Tanaka hasn't yet qualified for the Dreamstar Grand Prix. Initially, she was due to take on Zeta Steel on, I believe, the 4th of August, but obviously Zeta Steel wasn't on that card because of a back injury. She was then rescheduled to take on Zeta on the 10th of August, which is this Saturday. But again, Zeta Steel won't be on those shows, again, still suffering with that back pain. So she's been replaced in this qualifier by Kimomo Minami. Now, bless her, Kimomo Minami, but she is currently 0-10. In singles matches, Matt. She has not yet got a singles victory, has lost all 10 of her matches. I would argue that Kazuna Tanaka might be a lock to be in this tournament. I don't want to be speaking out of turn, but I reckon it's probably the best chance of anyone.
What a better way to get your first win than to defeat a second-generation wrestler and qualify for the tournament.
Absolutely.
Don't put the jinx on me, Rob Goodwin. But no, I think you're right, my man. And again, at the same time, me and you are doubling down and agreeing on something. Again, folks, in WrestleMania weekend next year, if you see us in Vegas and we're at the roulette table and we bet on black, put your house up on red.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And thank us afterwards. Yeah, so obviously Chika Goto beat Nao Ishikawa, which we're going to be talking about in a moment. She has now taken one of those qualification slots. There's two more up for grabs, with the aforementioned Kazuna Tanaka and Kimomo Minami match taking place on August 10th in Karago City for Miko Aono's homecoming show. The other match is Victoria Yuzuki, who returns from illness. She's going to be taking on Myla Grace. And much as I've already said, you know, the Kazuna match is a bit of a lock in terms of getting into the Dreamstar Grand Prix, which I'm very excited to see. And obviously, Victoria Yuzuki should absolutely be in this tournament. She is phenomenal for her experience level and is only going to get better and could easily be in the conversation for breakout star of this tournament, especially if she's put in a block with the likes of an Utami or a Mirai or a Miko Aono or a Koki Amore. I feel like she could have a really, 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 really good tournament. But it's a shame that Myla Grace isn't going to get a run in this tournament, because she is someone, I feel, and it was really illustrated for me over these two shows how much she has improved and how much she has got to grips with this style. So it is a little bit of a shame, but obviously it does make this tournament. This is what I loved about last year's five-star Grand Prix. It made the tournament feel very elite. Only 16 people can get into this tournament, so not everyone is going to get in. And I think, again, that makes it feel like the place to be. It makes it feel important, and that in itself is really, really important. And then, of course, again, as we already mentioned, there is someone who is from another promotion that is going to be taking that 16th spot in the field. Loads of people talking about people from NXT. I did see someone, a really glaring one that we completely missed, Matt. Nori from Summer Destiny, who teamed with Takako Inoue and Shinobu Kandori, did a lot of the heavy lifting, was actually really, really good, and had a full-on argument with Mai Sakurai and traded words with her post-match. So it wouldn't surprise me, actually, if the internets is right and it's her as the final person in this field. Wouldn't be a disappointment by any stretch of the imagination, because I imagine you would have to pay the WWE a little bit of money for even an NXT superstar.
Yeah, we heard what the EO's fee was, and times. I mean, obviously, it wouldn't be EO coming over, but it would for a company that's just starting up. That you know, obviously, they had to pay Utami a decent amount of money, Julia a good amount of money for the handful of months she's going to be in there. So yeah, you're right. You're right. That you might be right. Not unless NXT wants to send somebody over, you know, on their own volition. Like maybe somebody wants to come over, and you know, as kind of a, you know, a thank you or a working agreement. Yeah, you might be right. It might be somebody from Japan. Maybe, Rob, maybe it's Kandori. You just mentioned her name. Can you imagine Shinobi Kandori in this tournament?
I mean, I don't know how well she'd be able to go as a singles competitor, but I mean, can you imagine that final matchup, Nanae Takahashi versus Shinobu Kandori? Jesus, it'd just be bombs thrown after bombs thrown. I'd love it. Let's move on now. Let's have a look at these two shows. We start on the 3rd of August, night 6 of the Summer Gold Shine Tour. From the Kitajima Kita Park General Gymnasium in Tokushima, the first time Marigold have run this venue. 420 people reported to be in attendance, and it looked like it was a hot, hot day. I did, in a really, really, really nerdy way, I did check what the temperature was. It was 33 degrees Celsius, which is 91. It was 91 in Tokushima at this time on this day, and you could see, like, the further we got into this show, I think it reached its peak at about Chika Goto versus Nao Ishikawa, and you could see those fans in the crowd on the hard cam. They were going harder and harder and harder as the show progressed, and you could really tell that it was taking it out of the wrestlers. It must be absolutely brutal wrestling in those conditions. I know that you've done it, wrestling in some of the darkest, dingiest, hottest places in America, Matt.
Yeah, I wrestled in some bad places, let's just say that. Some places that they weren't the elite of the elite, and that's kind of the joy. Like, I actually enjoyed, like, the grit and that, and, like, the places that smell like urine and stale beer. I just don't know what it is. It's just, it's, you know, kind of just makes you appreciate certain things. But yeah, as soon as the show started, I noticed that there was a decent amount of empty seats and a whole bunch of people fanning themselves off. And it took me about 9 seconds to figure out this building probably doesn't have any air conditioning. And that, a lot of times, people don't want to go. They don't want to sit in the heat. It's one thing to sit in the cold, and we kind of did that at WrestleMania, because you can put more layers of clothes on, right? But, like, when you're in the heat, there's only so much of clothes that you can take off for, you know, you can only, you can't rip your skin off or anything like that. But there was the one gentleman that, I think he had the Kokiyama Ray towel. He was right on hard cam. He had the purple towel, and you could just see, like, every 3 seconds you just wiping the sweat off them. But God bless the fans, because they stuck with it. They were into every match. You know, again, this was only a 5-show match, and the wrestlers did really, really well. And again, considering the fact that before you even get, I mean, if it's that hot in the building, it's probably really hot in the locker room. So if you're trying to stretch and do this or do that or put stuff together, you're getting hot and warm before you're going out there to even perform. But every single one of these wrestlers, they really, really deliver. So considering the fact that the degree of difficulty for these wrestlers a little bit higher and hotter. See what I did there? And the fact that everybody really, really delivered on this show. Just kudos to the wrestlers and the production team over at Marigold.
So let's talk through the results then from the venue that's also called the YKG Dome as well. I'm going to be calling it that because it is far easier to say. Started with a three-way match. Misa Matsui defeated Kimomo Minami and Natsumi Shozuki. Misa pinning Kimomo Minami with a leg roll clutch hold, the European clutch, in 7 minutes and 31 seconds. In a singles match, Myla Grace defeated Zayda Steele with the fall from Grace in 6 minutes and 21 seconds. In a dream Star Grand Prix 2024 qualifier match, Chika Goto defeated Nao Ishikawa with a choke slam in 9 minutes and 37 seconds. Tag team action then with Koki Amore and Rie Sato defeating Miku Aono and Kazuna Tanaka with the Amethyst Butterfly. Koki Amore hitting that on Kazuna Tanaka in 14 minutes and 10 seconds. And then in your main event, it was a 6-woman tag team match, a Donna Del Mondo what's the word I'm looking for?
Reunion.
Reunion. And you began with an R. Julia Mai Sakurai and Mirai defeating the team of Chiaki, Nagisa Nozaki and Bozilla. Julia pinning Chiaki with the Northern Lights bomb in 17 minutes and 45 seconds. It is worth noting that this card did have to be changed. Upon arriving in Takushima, Victoria, Yuzuki was had a sudden fever and basically was pulled from both this and Sunday's cards. So her scheduled Dreamstar Grand Prix qualifier against Myla Grace has been rearranged, as I've already mentioned. That will take place on the 10th. But Matt, from this card, my friend, what would you like to talk about?
The first match, I know it was a three-way, and Kimomo Minami, she was really good, but the majority of Crux's match was almost a singles match with Misa Matsui and Natsumi Shozuki. And we saw what they did in Sumo Hall in the finals of the Flyweight Championship. But just goes to show, like, when these two are paired on the opposite ends of the ring, whether it's a three-way, whether it's a singles match or a tag match, these two have instant magic. These two are almost like a version of Miko Ono versus Mirai, where you can put them in the ring again, tag match, you can put them in a singles match week after week after week, and it never gets tiresome. So I think that's really a feud and a rivalry that hopefully Marigold sees what they have and they can go back to it anytime, because very much like Miko Ono versus Mirai, we never got tired of it. Every time I went to a time limit draw, we're like, really, we're gonna run it back again? And then we saw the match and we're like, they can wrestle every week, like, we're all for it, like, we're the ones that are benefit from it. And I think Misa Matsui, Natsumi Shozuki, they're right on that same level. I think they can have a generational rivalry here in Marigold. I love the match. Again, Kimomo Minami, she was good in her role. But for the most part, this was kind of just a singles match. I thought this was a good way to start the show. Again, I made mention when Stardom the last few months, when they've been starting these shows, they start with a hot match. And this is what Marigold did here. They really did a good job getting the crowd warmed up, even though they were at 91 degrees. They already were. I had it at 3 3/4 stars. I thought this was a great performance from all three wrestlers, and with Misa Matsui getting a win here in a match that has the Flyweight Championship, hopefully we do see those two in the ring sooner than later.
Yeah, I imagine that we will eventually revisit that Superfly Championship match between Misa and Natsumi Shozuki. I'd be very surprised if we didn't. Went a really wise way, sort of completely ignoring the rookie and just going at each other to the point where when Minami tries to insert herself, she ends up on the receiving end of a very vengeful Natsumi Shozuki. I must admit, this might be the first time I've ever heard live commentary on the house microphone on a broadcast before. I don't know if the ring announcer from these two shows is the same ring announcer that Marigold have always had, but props to him. The emotion and how into all the matches he was, like, deserves a lot of credit. Thought he was brilliant. The exchanges between, you know, you don't need me to tell you, the exchanges between Matsui and Shozuki were absolutely fantastic. I really like the ending as well, with Misa Matsui sort of stealing the victory away from Shozuki. Again, I don't think we are finished with that, and I certainly hope that we're not. We move on then. I want to talk about Myla Grace and Zayda Steele. And we were talking about this during our 25-hour podcast yesterday. I might be exaggerating slightly. But Zayda Steele, you could tell from the outset, was really, really struggling with her back. Not only was it heavily taped up, which she said on Twitter, apparently, Myla Grace helped to do, so that was nice. She was really struggling. You can actually see before they locked up, you actually see Zayda Steele say something like, I'm struggling with my back, or watch my back, or something like that to Myla Grace. And credit where credit is due, Zayda takes very few bumps, but they still have a really, really compelling match that it's really unexpected, the structure and the fact that it's solely based around grappling, mat, and chain wrestling. I mean, don't get me wrong, Zayda still bridges out of something, which is bloody impressive considering with the back injuries kept her out of the next three shows. I think this is both women's best singles outing in Marigold. I think Grace deserves a tremendous amount of praise for looking after her opponent. I think both women seem at home with grappling. And honestly, the only real negative that I had, considering you have, you know, a very obviously hurt wrestler, the only real issue that I had was that I would have liked it to have gone a little bit longer. Zayda Steele, bless her. She did get her first victory at Corican Hall in Marigold. She still is yet to get a pinfall victory and is yet to get a singles victory, currently sitting now at 0-8, which is not the record that I'm sure the real deal wants. But credit where credit's due, Matt. I enjoyed this significantly more than I thought I was going to when I saw how much discomfort Zayda Steele was in.
I see your point about wanting this match to go longer, you know, 6 minutes, 21 seconds. I totally see your point. But when you have somebody that's injured, still kind of wrestling, you kind of just want to tell your story and get them in, get them out, and pop the crowd, get that person over, make sure that person, you know, the person goes over in the right way. Obviously, the fall from Grace is Myla Grace's big move, and make sure Zayda Steele doesn't, you know, get her injured anymore. So that's probably the reason. Would I love to see this go 9, 10, 11 minutes? Absolutely. I love Myla Grace. I love Zayda Steele. These two have improved so much over the last few months. And give credit where credit's due to Myla Grace. The fact that you can go and have a match this good, this early in both their careers, just goes to show you what a pro she is. Like, just being able to take care of her partner in the ring, that just goes to show you how great that she is. The fact that, like, okay, I can have a good match and really don't have Zayda Steele take any bumps. And, like, again, you know, you rewind the clock when I first started wrestling 20-some years ago, the majority of wrestling that I was watching, studying, again, was the All Japan 90s era where everybody's taking insane bumps. And then fast forward, I'm wrestling about 3 or 4 years, and I saw a shoot interview that Jake the Snake Roberts did when they were talking about his feud with Bad News Brown. He said Bad News Brown's knees were so bad, he basically said, Jake, like, I don't think I can bump. He's like, that's okay. I don't need to take you off your feet to have a really good match. And I went back and watched some of those matches. Now, they weren't Steamboat and Savage, but I'm like, Jake the Snake is such a master at his craft that he can go and have this match without taking the heel off his feet. And I'm not saying Myla Grace is as good as Jake Roberts was in the 80s and 90s, but the point I'm trying to make is, here's Myla Grace, who's only been wrestling like, what, two and a half years, something like that. And Zayda Steele's not that further along in her career either. And the fact they had this good a match with Zayda Steele being as injured as she is, with Myla Grace really not having to bump Zayda Steele, just goes to show you just what an absolute master at the craft these two are, so young in their career. I had it 3.5 stars, and really kudos to both these ladies putting on an entertaining match, considering that the handicap that they were against.
Yeah, and absolute credit to them. I think Myla Grace had a really good showing over these two shows, because I thought she did. She was really good in that handicap match, and I am not a fan of handicap matches as a stipulation, as a rule at all. But I thought between her and Rhea Sato, who might have the best facials in all of wrestling, and I mean that wholeheartedly. Her facials, if you watch her when she bumps, if you watch her when Bozilla runs her into the corner, her facials are absolutely fantastic. Credit where it's due. I hope Zayda Steele rests, gets that back fixed, and comes back stronger, because she's been doing a lot of good work recently. I'm a big fan of this team between her and Myla Grace, and if they continue this development, this improvement, then I am all here for that. We move on then to the first and only Dreamstar Grand Prix qualifier over these two shows, with Chika Goto defeating Nao Ishikawa. Obviously, in our last singles bout, Nao Ishikawa had that really surprising loss to Rhea Sato in Corican Hall. She's already on record as saying she feels like she's being overshadowed by the Actress girls. And then sure enough, she gets pinned by Chika Goto in less than 10 minutes. She's not going to be in the tournament. Again, we sort of guessed that this would happen. Doesn't ease the blow. I think Nao Ishikawa could have done, you know, she probably arguably would have been my breakout star had she been in this tournament. However, you can't not have Chika Goto in this tournament. Now, just my one negative out of the way, and it's not a negative because I can't, like, I've played cricket and football in blistering heat, and they are significantly less strenuous than wrestling is. So this is not a knock at all, but you could really see how much the heat was affecting Chika Goto. She brought it back really, really well. There was the missed springboard in the corner, and then I know that she it wasn't the smoothest of giant swings that she'll ever do. However, I think she deserves a lot of credit because the way that she catches now into when Nao's going for that low crossbody and she catches her and hoists her up into the corner, thought that was really cool, and she certainly grew into the match. But I think it was obvious that the heat was pretty unbearable at this point. This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. What are your self-care non-negotiables? Maybe you've set aside some time away from social media every day. Maybe you find the time to put on your favourite Mayu Iwatani match. Maybe you never skip leg day or therapy day. When your schedule is packed like Ryo Goku with kids' activities, big work projects and more, it's easy to let your priorities slip. Even when we know what makes us happy, it's hard to make time for it. But when you feel like you have no time for yourself, non-negotiables like therapy are more important than ever. It's so important to make time for yourself, even when life can get so hectic. Therapy is helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to become the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's a service that is entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Never skip therapy day with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/stardom today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp, HELP.com/stardom. And now back to today's episode.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah, you got to think, not only is it affecting your breathing, but you're sweating a lot more. So sometimes It's tough to get the grip on certain things. And again, not only do you want the move to look good, but the most important thing is you don't want to hurt yourself and especially your opponent when you're doing something. And you were talking about the springboard. Again, not only is she sweating, but you just had five other wrestlers in the matches before between the three-way. So you have other sweat that's on there. So it's going to be almost as if somebody, you know, put a bottle of water on there, you know what I mean? So it's going to make the ropes a little bit slipperier. The main thing is I thought the match was fine. 3.5 stars. I think there's a better match they have in them between now Ishikawa and Chika Goto. And I think we'll see it somewhere down the line, but they were able to go in, tell their story and get Chika Goto to qualify for this tournament, which we knew was going to be that way because Chika Goto is obviously somebody that Marigold has pegged to star upcoming. And that Go-Go Chika, I mean, again, look at that Corican show from just 2 weeks ago that I reviewed last week. Even on a loss, they were chanting her name. They were doing her chant as she was leaving that match against Miko Anno and Natsumi Shozuki. So she's somebody that's over. She's a great wrestler. She's constantly getting better. And she has the most over catchphrase in the company that everybody chants. So, yeah, good on them. Again, I would love to see this run back in somewhere where, you know, maybe the conditions are a little bit better, for lack of a better term. But again, 3.5 stars. I thought this was a really, really good outing.
Yeah, again, I want to reiterate, this is not a knock on Chika Goto by any stretch of the imagination. And, you know, she comes out of that main event in Hiroshima, you know, I'm going to wax lyrical about how good she was in that, because I thought she was the sort of focus of that entire match and did a tremendous amount of work and really good work with both Nanae and Julia. But here, I don't know, I think it was just, again, it's the heat, and I'm certainly not going to give her any heat, pun intended.
He's on a roll, folks. He's on a roll.
I genuinely didn't even mean that one, because of the temperature. And again, they managed to get back through it. I thought Nao Ishikawa actually did some really, really good work. She was the aggressor throughout. She had clearly done her homework on Chika Goto, was able to counter out of the giant swing twice, hit a really nice DDT out of it as well. But overall, obviously, it was fine. I completely agree with your sentiment. I think there is a better match in them, but ultimately this was about getting Chika Goto into the Dream Star, where I think she has every chance of being that breakout star, certainly, because alongside Koki Amore and Miko Aono, I think she is the person whose stock has been raised the most from the actress girls that have come in, you know, just ahead maybe of Misa Matsui and Natsumi Shozuki as well. Moving on then, speaking of Koki Amore, the tag match, Koki Amore and Rhea Sato versus Miko Aono and Kazuna Tanaka. I sort of knew where this was going after the confrontation that ended Corican Hall, with Koki coming out and confronting Miko Aono. I sort of knew that we were going to be getting the pinfall here, presumably over Tanaka. But the aim of this match was to highlight the talent of Koki, and it does it brilliantly, especially in that opening salvo with Miko Aono, where she showcases her chain wrestling skill. And then when they reconvene later in the match, she's so violent, matching Miko Aono in every facet, using her height, power, and delivering all of those big boots. I thought the exchanges between her and the pure white belt champion, Miko Aono, were really, really good, and it puts me in a position where I am extremely excited for this white belt, or this pure white belt title match at Corrigan Hall on the 19th. I'm a huge fan of Koki Amore, a huge fan. She is someone who has captured my imagination from the moment that she came into the company. She was in that tag match that went to a time limit draw, wasn't she?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah, on the first show. Mm-hmm.
Which was, you know, on a good card, it was the weakest match on the card, but she was still the person I was like, she's got potential. And you can see by the way she carries herself, that confidence, that aura. We speak about it all the time with the likes of Utami, with Julian. I'm not saying Koki Amore is on that level yet. She has the ability to be on that level. We could very much be looking at someone in 2 years' time, maybe 18 months' time, who is holding that pure white belt, challenging for that crimson red belt, and it not feeling like she's just been inserted into that picture. She'll be there on merit, because I thought she was fantastic here. Matched Miko Aono perfectly. Huge props go to Kazuna Tanaka as well, who has her own really good exchange with Koki Amore. That transition into the Fujiwara armbar, really, really, really smooth. She looked dangerous throughout this match. There was always that off chance that she might get the pinfall over Koki, but she can't weather that storm. And eventually, once Koki Amore gets to the ropes from that armbar, the writing is somewhat on the wall for Tanaka. But overall, thoroughly, thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed this match, Matt.
Yeah, this was really good, and Kazuna Tanaka was a standout here, and Saito was very good as well. But the crux of this match, for obvious reasons, was Koki Amore versus Miko Aono. We're here to get eyes on that. We're here to get a little bit of a preview, a little bit of an appetizer, if you will, for what we're going to be getting in Corican Hall for that pure white belt championship. And rightfully so. I mean, it's simple, simple booking. You know, we start with it, we pull it away, we take it away, we get our tag partners involved, we get some really good tag wrestling in there. Koki Amore gave a lot to Kazuna Tanaka. Kazuna Tanaka, again, she looked really, really good here. There's some really good tag stuff with Miko Aono and Kazuna Tanaka, considering the fact they were kind of like similar styles with the striking, especially with the kicks and the low kicks. which I thought was really, really cool. Obviously, Miko Ano, I'm a big fan of her, and I'm sure you are partner of her and Natsumi Shozuki as a tag team. But if Natsumi Shozuki is on one of these shows doing something else, I got no problem with Tanaka and Miko Ano teaming up. And if we're going to start putting factions together, hopefully, you know, maybe sometime soon, we know Rossi likes doing that. I would love to see Ano, Tanaka, and Natsumi Shozuki as part of a faction, because I think their styles really work well together. But yeah, the main thing in this match, and rightfully so, it's easy booking. It's booking 101, is you're building Koki Amore up. We get a little bit, again, we get a little bit of a preview of what we're going to see in Corican Hall. And if this match is a little bit of a preview of what we're going to get in Corican Hall, that match is going to be awesome, with Koki Amore challenging Miko Ano for the Pure White Belt Championship. But we get a little bit of a preview, but eventually, towards the last 2-3 minutes of this match, we're just building up Koki Amore to make it look like she's a legit threat for that Pure White Belt Championship. Really good match. Solid stuff from everybody. I had it at 3.5 stars.
Yeah, it was one of my favorite matches over the two nights. I gave it the same 3.5 stars. Thought it was great. Kazuna Tanaka is a special talent as well. And when you consider that you've got her and Victoria Yuzuki on that same sort of level, very, very, very exciting. I don't think I'm alone in thinking that Koki Amore is certainly not getting the pinfall over Miko Ano, but I still think it's going to be a very, very, very good match. And I stand by what I said before. I do think that she has the ability to be up in that upper echelon of Marigold in the next 12, 18 months, because she is really good. She's improving all the time. And that confidence and that aura count for a hell of a lot when it comes to wrestling. We move on. Only 5 matches on both of these cards. The main event saw Julia Mai Sakurai and Mirai against the team of Chiaki, Nagisa Nozaki, and Bozilla. I know that it was only for one night, but adding Bozilla to the team of Chiaki and Nagisa Nozaki might be the most frightening thing in the entirety of Marigold. But let's get straight into it. Chiaki, what a fighter. And I'll say this again, and I feel like I say it on most episodes of the Marigold Standard Experience now, that I was quite critical, not overly critical, but I was quite critical of the fact that Chiaki was so directionless in her character. And the moment that she engaged with Nagisa Nozaki and sort of embraced that dark side of herself, she came across really, really well. Here, absolutely blow away. That final 5 minutes of the match between Chiaki and Julia was a brilliant closing stretch. Throw all of her character stuff in with the fact that she was going blow for blow with Julia, exchanging these loud, loud slaps across the face, or the fact that she wrestles the last 4 minutes of this match with blood literally pouring down her face when Julia opens her up with a shoot headbutt. Honestly, Chiaki's never looked more badass, and she only improves that look when she comes wearing a bandana in Hiroshima the next day. Really, really, really good performance from Chiaki. I thought she was brilliant. It can't have been easy, because there is a photo from her Twitter and she has had to have stitches. It looks like 6 or 7 stitches as well. So it's a hefty, hefty cut. So it can't have been easy continuing to wrestle, especially wrestling someone who is, you know, as, I don't want to say brawly because that sounds like it's untidy, but you know what I mean. Sort of rooted in that brawling style as Julia is. Absolute credit needs to go to Chiaki. Not only having been opened up with a headbutt, but to then take a chair shot. Admittedly, it was a gimmick chair, but still taking that chair shot must have been really uncomfortable. Thought it was brilliant. Thought absolutely fantastic performance from Chiaki in this.
Really makes you want that Chiaki versus Julia match, right? Yes. You're like, oh man, what would a singles match? Obviously, Julia, she has her final five, and we, you know, they're booked great. You're like, oh man, if Julia was just staying around another week or two longer, we'd love to see that singles match there. And this is something, even though with Chiaki eating the L, her bleeding hard way, this is something we're gonna remember a long time. So even though Julia kind of roughed her up a little bit, like, you know, obviously kayfabe, but a little bit obviously legit because of the hard way headbutt. And folks, it happens. It's wrestling, you know, it's not ballet. Stuff like this happens all the time. It just happens. It's pro wrestling. But Chiaki gets over now. Again, she bleeds hard way. She has to get stitches. But she takes this in the next day, again, with that bandana. She, like, as you mentioned before, partner, she takes something so small and just adds it to her character. And it seems like we're adding to her character each and every show. And the fact that the closing stretch of this match is you have Julia, your big star, again, who's headed off into the land of giants, the big WWE, you know, in just a, you know, just a few weeks. That she's going blow for blow with blood coming down her face with the badass that is Julia. That just adds so much more to Chiaki. So, considering the fact that, again, when this match started, you have Bozilla, Nagisa Nozaki, and Chiaki, and I was just like, man, that's a hard-hitting trio. And then Julia, Mirai, and Sakurai come out, and you're like, that's a hard-hitting trio. So it's just like, yeah, you know what you're going to get. And boy, did we get it. We got it in spades. I mean, you have, like, the wild brawl to start. Like, oh, man, here we go. Like, where there's no feeling out process here, you know, again, these fans, they're, it's again 91 degrees, they're sweating, they're hot, it's just like they're enjoying what they're seeing, but this is like, let's just go right at it. And they sure do. I mean, there's no lull in this match. It just builds and builds and builds, and everybody looks really good. Nozaki and Mai Sakurai, there's something there between the two of them. There's like an every time they're in the ring opposite sides of each other on these tag matches, there's something like gritty and dirty and like something that you want to see, right? It's not Steamboat Flair. It's not, it's like very much like, oh, these two really, you can just tell it doesn't look, you know, choreographed. It really looks like these two are out to kind of, you know, hurt each other. And again, folks, it's pro wrestling. It's kayfabe. They're not really trying to hurt each other, but they do a good job blurring the lines. And I would love to see a singles program between these two, you know, hopefully coming off the big tournament we have coming up in September, or maybe they're in the same block and they have like a big matchup that I don't know. Bozilla's great here as always. I mean, she's so over and over with her character, and for someone that's so young in the business, understands what she needs to do to get over with a crowd that doesn't speak the same language as her. Obviously, Mirai, she's terrific here. I mean, it really seems like anybody that got in trouble in these matches, Mirai just comes in, just lariats people, and is able to get the momentum back on the team of the old DDM reunion here. But yeah, the crux of this match is those last handful of minutes with Julia and Jackie just going back and forth, but eventually Julia planting the Northern Lights bomb. This is a great match, a great way to close this show. And again, kudos to not only the wrestlers to be able to perform in such hot weather, but the fans too, because again, they stuck with it. They were loud from match one until the final match here. 3 3/4 stars for me, my friend. This was my favorite match of this show.
Yeah, mine too. Again, all six women, when they were given the opportunity, did really well. I think Donna Del Mondo, which I'm going to call them for easy's sake, might have regretted jumping the heel trio, especially as they were then pinballed around the arena for the next 5 minutes. But again, everyone looked good. Mai Sakurai continues to impress. Not as much as she impressed me on the next night, which I'll be talking about shortly, but everyone looked great. The most important thing for me is the fact that post-match, Julia puts over the tenacity, the grit, and the strength of Chiaki in particular, but Chiaki and Nagisa Nozaki, asks if they will be her partners for the second-to-last match on the 12th of August. I think that's the most important thing here, the fact that, yes, Chiaki looked like a badass. Yes, it's probably her best performance in a Marigold ring. In fact, I'd say, inarguably, it's Chiaki's best performance in a Marigold ring. But to then have the effectively the seal of approval from Julia and say, right, I want you two to be my teammates when we take on Mai Sakurai and the Passion Sisters on the 12th in Yokohama. I want you. And that seal of approval just tips it over the edge, makes it more important, and makes it even more impressive, the thing that she's done. So yeah, credit where credit's due. That was a brilliant end to the show, and it was booked very, very well. Moving on, we move on to night 7 of the Summer Gold Shine Tour. This is Marigold's first foray into Hiroshima, the Hiroshima Prefectorial Industrial Hall, from the 4th of August. 293 people in attendance for this debut show in Hiroshima. Now, to my knowledge, from the way that this venue was set out, is this the venue where Mayu did the dive off the bus?
Oh, partner, I didn't even take notice. I think so, because this is, Hiroshima's Mayu's hometown, correct?
No, Mayu's hometown is Yamaguchi.
I could be wrong, but I want to say she did the dive off the bus in her hometown. I think that's what it was.
She might well have done. I think it's partly because the bus or the trailer was parked in the venue. I'm just
That's what you got to think of. No, I could be wrong, but I think that Mayu did the dive off the bus, but it's in her hometown.
Yeah,
Mine. Happy homecoming, Mayu. Yeah. Happy homecoming.
Mine Yamaguchi is where she's from. Anyway, let's move on with the results from this show. So again, unfortunately, Victoria Yuzuki wasn't present on this card, and neither was Zayda Steele. That meant that there were card changes. Initially, we were supposed to have, as I've already mentioned, Victoria Yuzuki versus Myla Grace in a Dreamstar qualifier, and Kazuna Tanaka versus Zayda Steele in a Dreamstar qualifier. That obviously didn't happen. The matches were changed. So Myla Grace replaced Kimomo Minami in the handicap match, and Kimomo Minami then took on Kazuna Tanaka in the opening singles match instead of Zayda Steele. So the results are as follows. In a singles match, Kazuna Tanaka defeated Kimomo Minami with the Redream in 5 minutes and 3 seconds, the move that she's been perfecting backstage with the help of Fuka, and doing a tremendously good job of it, might I add. 2-on-1 handicap match, Bozilla defeating Myla Grace and Rhea Sato with the double powerbomb pin, both in unison in 4 minutes and 12 seconds. In a tag team match, Nagisa Nozaki and Chiaki defeated the team of Nao Ishikawa and Natsumi Shozuki. Chiaki pinning Nao Ishikawa with a fisherman buster in 11 minutes and 31 seconds. Or should I say, the most delayed of delayed fisherman busters in 11 minutes and 31 seconds, because Nao Ishikawa got a ridiculous amount of airtime for the amount of time that she was delayed in this hold. Tag team match semi-main event, Mirai and Mai Sakurai, defeated Miko Aono and Misa Matsui when Mai Sakurai submitted Misa with the STF in 12 minutes and 20 seconds. Not an elbow drop in sight. It's what we like to see. And then in easily my favorite match of the two shows, tag team main event, Julia and Nanae Takahashi defeated the Twin Towers of Koki Amore and Chika Goto. Julia submitting Chika Goto with the Bianca in 22 minutes and 6 seconds. Matt, not a great deal to talk about from those opening two matches, but I know you are a big fan of Kazuna Tanaka and this evolution to add this Redream into her arsenal is certainly an exciting thing.
Yeah, and kudos to the fine folks over at Marigold, because they did a great job showing this move, like backstage, how she's working on it. So you know this is going to be something big, because they're spending time, they're videotaping it, they're making sure that it's getting up on all the social medias so they can see it debut. So basically the match was, it was a good match, don't get me wrong, I had 3.25 stars, but the whole match was just built around this new finish from Kazuna Tanaka to try to get the finish over.
Yeah, and obviously they spent a lot of time reversing each other's pinfall attempts, so it was literally building up to this, which is absolutely fine. This is where you get your reps in. But I thought both women looked considerably smoother in this, especially Kimomo Minami when she was transitioning into moves like the triangle choke that she had in, and that rollover DDT she does. I think all of it felt considerably more organic than it has done in previous singles matches. Yes, she's lost again. 10th singles match in a row she's lost, but again, it's all about reps, and I think she looked pretty damn good here with the small amount that she was asked to do. Kazuna Tanaka continues to impress as well. Will probably beat Kimomo Minami in the Dreamstar qualifying match. Will probably finish the tournament with few, if any, points. But I'm with you, partner. I do genuinely think that she could be one to keep an eye on in terms of a breakout star in that tournament. Again, I'm just going to reiterate, I'm not a big fan of handicap matches, if I'm perfectly honest. These three made this entertaining. Myla Grace, I thought, was brilliant. Sort of like trying to sneak up and catch Bozilla by surprise, pushing Rhea Sato into Bozilla to try and get her to attack her instead. It doesn't work, obviously, because Bozilla then spends the next 4 minutes beating the hell out of both of them with a mildly annoyed look on her face. Overall, it was harmless fun, poor Rhea Sato. She did get absolutely pummeled in this match. I think this might be where she fractured her rib as well. Obviously, she's out of action until the end of September, which is devastating for a woman who had already missed 6 months of this year through poor health. Obviously, we wish her nothing but the best. But I think, and I could be wrong, I might be completely wrong, but I think it might have been where she was crushed in the corner that she ends up. Either that was where the injury happened or that was where it was made worse, because you saw her instantly holding her ribs.
Yeah, I mean, any bump you take, you don't know. It could have been the corner spot. It could have been the double power bomb. She could have went into this match with some lingering injuries. You just never know. I mean, sometimes it's the big things, sometimes it's the small things. So it could have been something that was just building. But yeah, harmless fun. I'm with you, partner. Handicap match, and really a squash handicap match. I didn't rate it just out of respect for the three fantastic competitors in the match. It was what it was. It did what it needed to do, and move on to the next one.
Yeah, let's move on to the next one, because the next one was a really, really quite interesting match and has given birth to my interesting theory. This is the tag match, Nozaki and Chiaki versus Nao Ishikawa and Natsumi Shozuki. By Jove, Nao Ishikawa and Natsumi Shozuki don't vibe, do they? And it was brilliant. I loved just the descent between them, from Nao Ishikawa charging at the heels, assuming that Shozuki was with her, turned around as she wasn't, just sort of left the ring, stood on the apron, watched it get pummeled for the next 3 minutes. Loved it. And then just the miscommunication, both of them trying to whip Chiaki into a different corner at the same time. You'd then got Nao Ishikawa trying to sort of up her game, change her game round by adding a chair into the equation. That goes wrong. Everything seems to go wrong, and it eventually leads to blows. Natsumi Shozuki, once Nao Ishikawa eats the pinfall, she does sort of stomp on her and then storms off in a huff. Now, tell me, Matt Turner, that you do not want to see Shozuki-gun with her, Nagisa Nozaki and Chiaki, with Natsumi Shozuki as your badass heel leader. That would be awesome.
Ooh, I like your theory there, my man. I like your theory. Again, we like this heel tag team, Nozaki, Chiaki, Chiaka. Now, if you're telling me you're going to add Natsumi Shozuki in there, I can see it. You know, she does have that aggressive streak in her. We did see that insane Samato that she now has adopted into her arsenal, running on the floor and look like she's going to take your head off. I wouldn't say no to that. I think that'd be a really, really good trio as far as like your big heel faction. So yeah, you got a point, because now Ishikawa is kind of left out there on her own quite a bit. And she showed great fire in this match, ultimately to just eat the delayed vertical fisherman's buster of Chiaka, Chiaki. But I thought it was a really solid match. I thought the little bit that Natsumi Shozuki was in the match, it seemed like whenever she would come in, to be almost the save. Nao Ishikawa. But again, Nao Ishikawa, I love her fire. I love it when she fires back and just showing that fighting spirit whenever she's getting beat down. It really takes a lot, even though she's got a lot of L's here in Marigold, but it really shows that whoever she's wrestling against, they really, really got to put in the extra effort to put her down, because it really takes a lot to put her down. I thought this was a great match and interesting story, my man. I did not see that here, but I see your point. So something that I will keep my eye on to see if that's where they're going with this. 3.5 stars for me. I thought it was a super fun match.
Yeah, it was. It was harmless fun, but I do like the idea of Shozuki, who is already sort of this. She seems to be taking on this role of sort of, and I don't want to say grizzled veteran, because that makes her feel about 55, but sort of this elder statesman who has no time for, you know, nonsense. And I really, really like that about her. She's a badass, and she knows she's a badass. I just love it. She hits people hard. She has great matches with whoever she is put in the ring with, holds matches together. I genuinely think she could be an absolutely amazing heel leader, and her leading a heel trio of her, Nagisa Nozaki and Chiaki, could be fantastic. And obviously we've got an influx of talent that will be coming in soon. Rossi Ogawa has done an interview where he said there's 7, I believe, trainees who are looking to pass their protest. So we are going to get an influx of talent. Maybe that is when we start, if we are going to start looking at factions, maybe that is where we start looking at factions. But if I was to don my booking hat for a moment, I think you would have a lot of success with Natsumi Shozuki as a heel, and then eventually having the uber babyface Misa Matsui eventually defeat her for the Superfly title. I think that's a good way to go. Speaking of Misa Matsui, this next match, Mirai and Mai Sakurai versus Miko Aono and Misa Matsui. If I was Mirai, I'm pretty sure I would be sort of treating Miko Aono, who I've gone to four consecutive time limit draws with, or three consecutive time limit draws, and then another 20 minutes as well. I'll be treating her with a little bit more respect than the way the champions, the twin star champions, treated Miko Aono in the opening of this. Because not only does she get locked in the paradise lock by Mai Sakurai, but then they both, her and Mirai, take it in turns to ignore taking her out of the paradise lock and just sort of stepping over her and tagging each other in. It was like, the disrespect, and obviously this awakens a fire in Miko Aono, which I also really enjoy, because every strike after that, she hit with significantly more mustard. Thought it was brilliant, thought it was really good. Led to a fantastic closing sequence with Mai Sakurai and Misa Matsui. And I think this is the sort of exchange where you see how much Mai Sakurai has improved and has sort of grown into herself, because someone who wrestles at the pace Misa Matsui does, you know, you've got to be really on your game to match that pace. It's the same as when you are wrestling a Meisera or an Azumi. You've got to be on your game because they wrestle at such a phenomenal pace. Mai Sakurai, 6-7 months ago, I'm not sure would have been able to wrestle convincingly at that pace, or would be able to match that pace, if you know what I mean. Sort of wrestle a convincing match with that pace. Not only does she do it here, but it is a really, really, really blinding closing segment. Really, really, really well done. And obviously the STF is the perfect finish. Please use that more, Mai Sakurai. Use that STF more. Please don't keep using the elbow drop. I've been a really good boy this year. I just want that for Christmas. Stop using the elbow drop. That's all I want. Matt.
Yeah. Lots to unpack here, brother. Psychology of this match was brilliant. Because again, if you're a Mirai and you're like kind of into her psyche, it's like, I've had these matches with Miko Aono. We've wrestled for well over an hour and singles matches, and I've yet to pin her in a singles match. However, I'm part of the tag team champions here with Mai Sakurai, who's in this match with me. And the only time I've ever pinned Miko Aono before was in a tag match. So it's like, I know I can pin her in a tag. Like, I know that. I don't know if I can beat her in a singles because I haven't been able to prove it, but I proved that I've been able to pin her in a tag. So Mirai and Mai Sakurai, and you got a good point. They treat her with a little bit of disrespect, but at the same time, we know we can beat the pure white belt champion in a tag match. And that's the psychology going here. Like, anytime it's Miko Aono, that's in a single spot here. And again, Miko Aono is your second biggest champion in this company. Again, she's the pure white belt champion. So anytime it's like a singles thing, whether she's one-on-one with Mai Sakurai or she's one-on-one with Mirai, she's getting the better of the match. Where Mirai and Mai Sakurai, they're able to get the advantage by using tag team moves. And again, they're the tag champs of the company, so that makes sense. Misa Matsui, she's terrific here as well. She's great. I think you know, her stuff here fits in really well with her teaming with Miko Aono, with Mirai and Mai Sakurai. I thought this was a really, really terrific match. Ultimately, though, it's Mirai hitting the lariat that allows Mai Sakurai to lock in the STF for the finish. I really like that psychology, again, because you have Mirai coming off the ropes with a lariat that then basically leads Mai Sakurai, because she's legal, to put the finishing touches on this match. The psychology of those two moves back to back, as they're both their big singles finishers, which again, we're hoping that Mai Sakurai her finisher is the STF, because it was Tatsuya by Masa Chono. So Mirai hits the lariat, which focuses on the neck, and then the STF. I know it focuses on obviously the knee, but mostly the neck on the crossface. So I really like that pairing. I like it when they do the Mirai, they do like the sandwich where Mirai hits the lariat and Mai Sakurai hits like the running Yakuza kick. I like that as well. These two as a tag team, I think, are terrific. This was a great match. It was my second favorite match of these two shows. I had it at 4 stars. I thought this was terrific, and I know it was a non-title tag match, but this is our first look at Mirai and Mai Sakurai as the tag team champions, and I thought that this was terrific. Partner, I know you were a busy, busy boy last week. Did you get a chance to listen to my solo podcast of Marigold when I reviewed the tag team tournament?
I want more than anything to say yes, Matt. I really, really do. But unfortunately, I haven't yet. No, I've listened to the Stardom cast you did solo. I haven't had a chance to listen to this yet, though.
No, and I appreciate your honor. No, that's fine. I'm going to reiterate a point because I didn't realize I was saying it until I said it. And I was like, that's a really good point, and I want to bring this up with you. So obviously we know because of the great commentary from Stu and Sonny that Masachono has taught the STF to Mai Sakurai. Now, Rob, do you know, and I mentioned this last week, do you know who taught the STF to Masachono?
Oh, I am going to go with superstar Billy Graham.
Lou Thesz.
Damn it. That was going to be my next one. I should have just gone with Lou Thesz. I don't know why I said superstar Billy Graham. I don't think I ever saw him lock in at STF ever.
No. Superstar Billy Graham was not the best technical wrestler. He was a showman. And I mean, that's that. I mean, he was perfect for that era of WWF back in the 70s.
Let's but hold anywho, off on the slander the... here, Matt Turner. Whoa. What is this? Didn't
superstar
realize...
Billy Graham will...
Didn't realize you were God a Billy bless. Graham hater, but there we are.
I am not. No. And any reason, I'm not. I think superstar Billy Graham was 20 years ahead of his time. I mean, the book and the DVD that came out X amount of years ago was called 20 Years Ahead of His Time. But if you listen to any interviews from the late, great superstar Billy Graham, he'll be the first one to tell you he was not a technical master. But anywho, I got completely off kilter here. The point I made last week, and I want to make this with you, is the fact that Mai Sakurai is being taught the STF by a person that was taught the STF by Lou Thesz. So she's being handed down the secrets of the STF from Lou freaking Thesz. How cool is that? Like, that's amazing. And I don't think that's something that anybody brought up before. I think that'd be something that I think that if, you know, on one of the Twitter pages or the YouTube page or something, even commentary, I think they really need to put that over. And I know they did a great job of talking about, hey, it was Masachono, who's a legend here in Japan, that taught this to Mai Sakurai. At the same time, Masachono took it because it was taught to him by Lou freaking Thesz, arguably the greatest, one of, if not the greatest professional wrestlers of all time. I think that's something that'd be great for them to put over, that she's being secondhand taught from Lou Thesz. I just think that'd be something really cool.
Final match then we are going to talk about is the main event from this show, which again, I absolutely loved. I thought this was great. Julia and Nanae Takahashi, Passion Julia, not a guys I thought I'd ever see Julia in, but I thought she embraced it really well. Koki Amore and Chika Goto. I thought Chika Goto, for how much she struggled in my eyes anyway, on that Saturday with her, I thought she was absolutely tremendous here. Not only did she step up, but she broke out, because I thought this was a breakout performance for her. Engaging with Julia, engaging with Nanae Takahashi, the spot where she's eaten so many chops and she just wraps her arms around the top rope and says, hit me again. Loved it. The tenacity, the determination was absolutely tremendous. Yes, she had the pinfall or she had the submission. Of course she did. We knew that was going to happen. But even so, it's how you lose. We say it all the time. And I thought both her and Koki Amore and Nanae Takahashi. Yes, please. Who knew that was a singles match we wanted to see? But overall, I thought Chika Goto, if we're talking about stock being raised over these 2 days, her and Chiaki come out of this weekend with such stock raised that it is unbelievable. I think if Chika Goto has these style of matches with a Nanae in the Dreamstar Grand Prix, with a Natsumi Shozuki in the Dreamstar Grand Prix, we could be looking at someone who has one of those breakout tournaments. I thought overall, thought she was fantastic. This was my match of the two shows. 4 stars, the Twin Towers. I mean, they're on the precipice of star standard in Marigold. They really are. They are the next people in my eyes to really break through into that main event. And I think once we've seen Koki Amore at Korakuen Hall in that spot, we're going to see that actually, yes, she belongs here. I think Chika Goto is perhaps a little lower in terms of experience, but I think she is developing and learning and improving every single time she steps in the ring, and she's taking on board anything that she's learning in the ring and bringing it out here, because she was able to tell such a fantastic story here in this ring with two of the best that Marigold had to offer. And I thought she was the highlight, which again, when you're in a match with Julia and Nanae Takahashi, says a lot about your the way you've done this match.
Yeah, and I mentioned it last week, partner, that Chika Goto and Corrigan Hall was the most over person on that show, you know, eating the L, and they were chanting her name. That when it's time, and again, I mentioned it 2 minutes ago, I love Mara and Mai Sakurai as tag team champions. Whenever the run is over, whether that's 4 months, 8 months, 9 months, a year from now, Chika Goto and Koki Amore, just think of how much better they're going to be. And once they decide to do that title change, I think it's going to be Koki Amore and Chika Goto that need to be the next tag team champions. And it needs to happen in Corrigan Hall, because just think of how much louder the pop was going to be. You kind of planted the seeds there, whether they meant to or not. Chika Goto and Koki Amore were over huge in that Corrigan Hall show. And considering the fact they didn't even make it to the finals, and we thought that not only they were going to make it to the finals, that they were going to win the tournament. Hence, once again, you know, at least we're consistent when Matt and Rob both double down on something, bet the other way, because at least we're consistent, consistently wrong, in an entertaining way, I might say. But I completely agree. I thought everybody was great in this match. Nanane and Julia as a tag team. Crazy. I don't think we've ever seen them on the same side, considering the fact that Nanane has been in and out of stardom the last handful of years, but never really teaming with Julia. I thought they were terrific together. Obviously, Koki Amore and Chika Goto, they're the tag team. They're the tag team of the future here. They were great. Julia did a great job of making sure that the Twin Towers looked great here. Terrific. And Nanane Takahashi as well. We've seen her been able to do that quite a bit, and Julia does a great job with that as well. And I really liked the finish here. I really liked how, first of all, Chika Goto just kept kicking out after bomb after bomb that after bomb that not only was Julia doing, but Nanane as well. She would come in and assist with some stuff. It's like, how much more can we possibly do? And this got 22 minutes. This is one of the longer matches in Marigold's short history, especially on these quote-unquote house shows. The fact that, it just kept going and building and building and building. And eventually it was a double submission that that took out the Tokyo Towers. And I like what Julia winning with the Bianca. We don't see her really win a lot of matches with that submission, at least not recently. It's usually the Glorious Driver or the Northern Lights Bomb. And I love the fact of just how, like, Julia's a very underrated grappler with her submission game. She's really, really good with the grappling and the submissions. And I really like that we were able to see her lock on the Bianca one more time before she, to quote your favorite band, Blink-182, my friend. I was just listening to some Blink-182 on the way home. But to lock into Bianca one more time before she comes over to the WWE. Great match, great finish. I agree. 4 stars, my favorite match from these two shows.
And that's that in terms of reviews. As I've already mentioned, unfortunately, Rhea Seito did injure her ribs. It looks like she has fractured her ribs. She's out until the end of September. So the cards for the 12th and the 10th have been amended. So I'm going to quickly whip through those before we sign off this episode of the Marigold Experience. The Night 8 show, which is Saturday the 10th of August, Miko Aono's homecoming show. This will be video on demand. We have got 2 Dreamstar Grand Prix qualifiers, Kazuna Tanaka versus Kimomo Minami and Victoria Yuzuki versus Myla Grace. Great to see Victoria Yuzuki back in the ring. It's also the return of Utami, who has been released from hospital following a bout of enteritis. She will be teaming with Nao Ishikawa and Nanae Takahashi against Chiaki, Nagisa Nozaki and Bozilla. Mirai, Mai Sakurai and Misa Matsui will be taking on Koki Amore, Chika Goto, and Natsumi Shozuki. And then a special singles match, Miko Aono versus Julia. Some really tasty matchups there, Matt. I think those two main events, really, really, really interesting. And I do think that Victoria Yuzuki and Myla Grace are going to do quite well there as well.
Yeah, that 6-person tag match sounds really, really good. Really interesting, especially, you know, and obviously they're the tag team champions. Keep tagging them up, whether it's straight up tags or adding somebody on there to basically get everybody more familiar with, like, this is the tag team. This is the cornerstone of our tag team division going forward. And the fact that they're across the ring from the Tokyo Towers, correct?
Yeah, they are. Mirai, Mai Sakurai, Misa Matsui versus Koki Amore, Chika Goto, and Natsumi Shozuki.
Yeah, there it is. So again, we're kind of, you know, planting the seeds of what can really be a great tag feud here. And I mean, Mirai might just be like the cornerstone of like your feuds, because you already have that singles feud with Miko Aono that you can go back to any time. And if they want to, they can do her and Mai Sakurai versus the Tokyo Towers. because we saw how great that was. So we can keep going back to that. I mean, just goes to show you what a valuable player Mariah is, not only as a singles wrestler, but a tag wrestler as well. So awesome stuff. Really, really good stuff. Smart booking and, you know, way to go for Mariah, again, who is really benefiting from this new Marigold promotion as somebody that is a constant main eventer and feels like a bigger star than she did, you know, 7-8 months ago. So awesome stuff. Yeah, it sounds like a really, really fun card, my friend. We should watch it and review it since we don't have anything going on in the month of August.
I reckon we probably should. Obviously, next week's episode of the Marigold Standard does depend when these two shows drop because they're both video on demand. The chances are that it will be Wednesday or Thursday before these shows drop. So keep to the social media and we will do what we can to get this out next week. The week after won't be an issue because obviously the Corrigan Hall show is live. That second show that I was talking about then, the 12th of August, night 9 of the Summer Gold Shine Tour in Yokohama. We have got the Twin Towers, Koki Amore and Chikagoto versus Kimomo Minami and Victoria Yuzuki. Singles match, Natsumi Shozuki versus Myla Grace, Kazuna Tanaka versus Bozilla, Utami Hayashishita and Mirai versus Miko Aono and Misa Matsui. That should be a belter of a match. And then your main event, Chiaki and Nagisa Nozaki and Julia taking on Mai Sakurai, Nanae Takahashi and now Ishikawa. Again, Matt, that tag match, Utami and Mirai versus Miko Aono and Misa Matsui, plug it into my veins.
Yeah, out of everybody that's left on this roster, that obviously we knew that Julia, she was leaving to go to WWE eventually. Sorry, he's not an official member of this roster as far as we know. But we know, we've been saying that that's the one singles match that we want to see. We've been talking about it for the last 5 or 6 weeks. Is Miko Aono and Utami Hayashishita, and the fact that we're getting teased just a little bit, Rob, just a little bit. Maybe that's a block final or your overall final for the Dreamstar Grand Prix. We shall see, but clearly they have a money-making main event whenever they want to pull the trigger for it. Obviously, we know Rossi's a genius booker. He's going to let that build and build and build. He's not going to rush that. But again, kind of planting the seeds here and just teasing us just a little, Hat Man. Just a little. He was baseball Hat Man. Did you notice that for these two shows, Rob?
I did. I realized that he was a very hot Hat Man during that first show. I think the short sleeve shirt and the baseball cap will let him off because it sounds like it is bloody hot in Japan at the moment. So, yes, I did realize that he was baseball hat man. I also realized he was on his phone at one point during one of the matches, which really made me laugh. Also, just final thing. Did you see when, I think it was when Bozilla was coming out and you'd got the cameraman walking backwards. And then just behind Bozilla, you've got Rhea Sato coming out with her phone. I think filming Bozilla with her phone. I was like, what's going on there? Anyway, that's by the by.
It takes a village, buddy. It takes a village, you know? It's a team effort.
It does. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, that does bring us to an end of the Marigold Standard this week. Thank you so much for your patience. Obviously, we are sort of a slave to the release schedule on Wrestle Universe. So once they're up and we've had chance to see them, we will obviously deliver this podcast each and every week. Thank you so much for your support. We truly do appreciate it. If you've enjoyed this podcast, think about subscribing wherever you get your podcasts. We are literally everywhere. A 5-star review and a comment really does help us out as well. Helps us be exposed to even more people. You can find us on social media at Marigold Podcast, and you can talk to me on Twitter at Real Rob Goodwin. Don't forget, you can check out the website www.thestardomcast.com for show reports, news, and all the statistics to do with Marigold and with Stardom. Matt Turner, sign us off, good sir.
Questions, comments, suggestions, anything you need from me, Matt Turner OF on the Instagram and or the Twitter. If you want to shoot me an email, the email is thestardomcast22@gmail.com. Folks, please do not send me your hate mail on Superstar Billy Graham. I don't know why Rob went rogue on that that segment. I got nothing but love for the late, great Superstar Billy Graham. But in all seriousness, folks, thank you so much for your support. It really means the world to us. Can't do it without you, because like I always say, it's just not my podcast. It's our podcast, because we're all together, and everyone's different, everyone's special.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.